Brothers and sisters, please let me invite you to turn again in the scriptures to Genesis chapter 17. This morning we're going to continue our journey looking at the life of Abraham, hoping to follow in the footsteps of our father in the faith. In the words of Romans 4, that we'll grow strong in faith and give God glory. That we can learn from his example how to be strong in faith. Well, this morning as we look at chapter 17, we're going to consider a special gift from God, a special sign from the Lord. And it is a sign that points us to Christ as our Savior. It's a sign that testifies to God's faithfulness. And it's a sign that points to the grace of the gospel. And as I'm sure you figured out, I'm talking about the sign of circumcision, which was given to Abram by the Lord. As I'm sure you know, the Lord, that the scriptures teach us, the Lord gives his people special signs in order to reveal himself and his ways to us. In the time of the gospel now, we have two such special signs, baptism and the Lord's Supper. But from the time of Abraham until Christ's coming, circumcision was the most special sign that God gave to the Old Testament church. Now, even though it doesn't apply to us today in the same way, there's so much that we can benefit from, so many helpful lessons for our faith as we look at this sign together, what the scriptures say about it. So in Genesis 17, we've actually come to a huge turning point in Abraham's life. The Lord comes to him again and speaks to him and repeats his promises. I hope you've been seeing that the main thrust of Abraham's story is God's promises to him. If you remember, the key promise is the Lord promises a seed will come through Abram, an offspring from his line, and that this seed is the promised seed from Genesis 3 and the Garden of Eden. The seed who's going to crush the devil's head and save us all from sin and death. And from the very first call of God to Abram, the Lord has been repeating this promise. The seed, the special son, will come through his line. There'll be a great nation that's going to come out of his family. God's going to give them their own land, the land of Canaan. But it's all part of the bigger plan that through them, the seed will come. And of course, the good news is that promise has come. The offspring is the Lord Jesus Christ, Abraham's son. And of course, as we've seen, Abram was saved by putting his faith in the promised son, just the same way that we are saved. Well, if you look with me at verse 1, it says we come to a point where Abram was now 99 years old when the Lord spoke to him. I can't even imagine making it to 99. But here is Abraham, 99 years old. And we're told later on that now Ishmael is 13 years old. So this is 13 years after what we looked at last week in chapter 16. 13 years since Ishmael, the illegitimate son, was born. So that's 13 years since God spoke to Hagar. So it's even longer since God last spoke to Abram. He has been waiting for decades. Decades since God first spoke to him. And there's still no promised son. Now, even though his body was being supernaturally sustained by God, I mean, he's so old. Probably, I guess a lot of other mums and dads say, my kids say this to me all the time. You're so old, Dad. We were saying at breakfast this morning, oh, you were born in the last century. Oh, no, it's worse. We were born in the last millennium, before there was an internet. Lizzie's shaking her head. She's like, oh, you're so old. 99 years old. Romans chapter 4 says his body was as good as dead. as good as dead. So it just seems like the promise is just now more impossible than ever. Now think about that. This must have been such a hard test of Abram's faith. Year after year, decade after decade, no sign of the promise coming true. It's looking harder and harder. And he's just going through his ordinary routines. He's living in a tent. He's tending the cattle. He's managing the servants. And just left waiting. Waiting for the Lord. But I think there's an encouragement for us in that. Because actually this is what most of the ordinary Christian life of faith is actually like. The Christian life is not about amazing experiences of God every day. It's not about amazing revelations from heaven every day, some extraordinary experience or secret encounter with God. Even Abram, his life was not like that. His life was about day by day getting on faithfully, walking, trusting God just as he goes on day by day serving him. And actually, that's the pattern of what ordinary Christian life is like. And that's a test of faith too, isn't it? Wouldn't it be easier if there were huge, supernatural, amazing things happening every day to trust God? Because you'd see things. But there's a test of faith too, that you just faithfully go on, believe in his word, in the ordinary things of life, day after day. So I say that just really as an aside, that if you ever feel like you're missing out on something as a Christian, should it be more exciting than this? You're not. This is the Christian life. Walking with God, serving him faithfully in ordinary life, believing him, trusting him. But nonetheless, Abram has another one of these very special encounters. The Lord comes to him, speaks to him. Now, Abram doesn't know it yet, but that's because the time has come. Time has now finally come to begin fulfilling the promise. Because in the next year, as God willing, we'll hear in the next few chapters. But in the next year, God's going to give them a son. And they're going to be blessed with Isaac. Now maybe also the timing is because Ishmael was 13. Culturally, that's the time he would have been considered a man. And so Abram's still hoping. He's thinking, can't Ishmael be the promise line? Can't you do it through him? He says that in verse 18. Oh, that Ishmael could live before you. And God says, no, it cannot be. Because as we saw last week, he was born of the flesh, of human effort. And the child of promise, he has to be born by God's power. It has to be a miracle showing God's grace. And then God repeats the promises. But here's the new thing. Here's the new thing in this revelation, the sign of circumcision. The cutting of the male flesh. And God says that from now on, that's what he and then all the men of his household and in every generation must do. They must carry on now this sign. Now, in the ancient world, there were lots of peoples and religions who practiced circumcision as a ritual. It's the meaning God gives it that's so important. The Lord connects it to his promises and his covenant. He says, this will be a sign of my covenant with you. And he's explaining to Abram what this means. So what's the first thing that the Lord says to him about why this sign is important? Well, the first thing is that it's a sign of new life, of a new beginning, of a new identity. That it's a cutting away of Abram's old life and old identity. If you look at verse 5, God says he's going to give Abram a new name, Abraham. Abram means something like high father, exalted father. Abraham means father of many, a multitude, because he's the father of all who believe, the millions and billions of us who trust in Jesus Christ. We're all following in his footsteps. And so this new name God gives him and as part of picturing the promises. But don't miss how really significant this is. Because again, in biblical times, a person's name defined their identity. We don't think the same way today, not really. A person's name defined who they were, their past, their place in the world, and their purpose. And if you take on a new name, or if your master, say, gave you a new name, that was like saying, you're a whole new person now. This is a whole new beginning. You've got a whole new status now with this name. The old you and your old identity, it's gone now. That's the past. New purpose, new position, new place, new life. And God says, look, even Sarai, she'll be named Sarah, which means princess. And so God comes to this holy old couple, and he's saying, actually, the 99, we're going to cut off the old. This is a brand new beginning. You are going to be like brand new people with a brand new start. Isn't that amazing? I mean, you're never too old for God's grace. It's never too late for God to give you a new beginning and a new start. So think with a bit deeply about it. What is the old identity that God is symbolically cutting away? Well, who they were in the flesh. Who they were as children of Adam, born in sin. See, it's a literal cutting of the flesh to symbolize the flesh spiritually being cut away. Again, as you probably know, particularly in the New Testament, the Bible calls our life in sin and our fallenness under the curse, it calls it life in the flesh. Born into this sinful world, under the curse, we live in mortal flesh. And every person in the history of the world, we trace our origins all back to Adam and his fall into sin. And we're all born naturally of the flesh, from his flesh, so to speak. We all inherit then from Adam, father in the flesh, condemnation, corruption, the guilt of sin. It's all passed on through the flesh that we're estranged from God. So what a marvelous thing. God says in his covenant, his people, that old life, that old inheritance, everything the flesh is going to be cut off, taken away from us, separated from us. We are going to be born again, born anew of God, a new line, a new human race that is free from all of the sin and death and the curse. This is huge what circumcision represents, this new beginning and cutting off of the flesh. You know, I mean, just practically, humanly, not all cutting off of flesh is bad. You got an infection, you got a cancer, you want the doctor to cut it out. God's going to cut off the flesh, sin, death, the curse. It's linked to this new name. Well, it's also a sign that testifies to God's faithfulness. Because Abram is to pass on the sign to every man in his household, and then all future generations, every son, must carry it on, circumcised on the eighth day. Eighth day, again, new week, new start, new beginning. Generation after generation will be carrying the sign. And what's that saying to us? It's testifying to God's faithfulness to every generation. All part of his covenant, heirs of these promises. Every future generation has the same sign that God is going to do this. Keep his promises, save from sin. His promise never fails. It goes on and on, generation to generation. And all the line of sons until the promised son will come. Now, again, one of the unique things about circumcision with Abram is it's unique that it was given to babies. I said other peoples, other tribes, other religions had circumcision. Uniquely, it's unique to the Bible and the covenant of grace that it was done to babies, to children. Nobody else did that. That God gives his sign and his promise to babies even before they know it, before they're even aware of it. Because in his covenant of grace, God doesn't just bless the person with faith. He affirms the same promises and grants blessing to their children and their children's children. He gives them the privilege of being brought up in the family of faith under the blessing of his covenant. And so circumcision is a symbol of this, God's ongoing faithfulness. And so the Lord's covenant continues today the same way. Do you remember in Acts when on the day of Pentecost and Peter's announcing the good news and inviting people to be baptized and he says, and this is for you and your children. So the covenant still carries on the same way. The children of believers are blessed with the same privileges today, to be given the sign of the covenant for us, baptism, a washing clean from sin, and as inheritors of these promises, to be raised in the family of faith, to be brought in under God's blessing. So you see then that circumcision, again for Abram, it's a sign of belonging to God, of being set apart to be his in a special way. To, I suppose, put it in a horrible way. You know, in the ancient world, masters would mark their slaves. Usually, that's where earrings come from. They would mark them and pierce their ear with an earring to mark that they belong to somebody. Well, circumcision is going to be a bit like that for God's people. To mark them out as God's people. And it's done, it's such a painfully personal and intimate sign, symbolic that God wants his people entirely, body and soul, to be his. Even in the most private and personal parts of life, all is to be God's, devoted to him. And the heart of that is, if you look at verse 8, look at what God says about this. He says, I will be your God. Now you know how important that is in the scriptures. That phrase comes up again and again, all the way to Revelation 21. I will be your God. I will be everything a God is meant to be, to love you, serve you, save you, protect and provide for you. I will be your God. That just sums up everything God promises in salvation. If you have God, you have everything. You have a personal relationship with him. And in turn, it's a claim of absolute lordship over you. You will be my people, to serve and worship him, love him, obey him, to show his glory. So the personal, painful cutting of circumcision, it's emphasizing this total surrender to God, even the most secret, innermost parts of life. God has never been interested in just lip service. He's never just been interested in like outward ritual. He wants his people's hearts. He wants a real relationship of love and the surrender of all of life. So do you see how much there is? What a blessing this sign of circumcision was to Abram as he ponders what God's saying about it. A confirmation of his promises, a sign of new life, cutting off of sin and death in the flesh, God's faithfulness generation after generation, and really a sign of God's love for his people. So it was a great blessing. So what do you do with that as a Christian? What are you meant to take from this? How does this help us today in our faith? Well, because the Bible's clear. As Christians, we don't have to keep this sign anymore. We're under no obligation to keep it. So what changed? Why? Well, if it's such a wonderfully rich sign, why isn't it still part of the Christian faith? Well, because God's given us something better. Something even better. We possess the reality the sign was pointing towards. See, circumcision, it's a sign. It's a promise. It's pointing forward. And what it was pointing to has now arrived and been fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ. If I could put it this way to you, brethren, and you might, I don't know if you've ever thought about it this way, but it's how the Bible speaks. The ultimate cutting off of the flesh has taken place. The ultimate demonstration of God's faithfulness has been done. The ultimate act of God's love has been accomplished. Everything this was a sign pointing to has now arrived in Jesus Christ. And again, it might sound strange to our ears, but the Bible says that the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross was the ultimate true circumcision. What the sign was pointing to. On the cross, the Lord Jesus was cut off from life, cut off from God, placed under the curse for our sins. All the guilt, all the sin as our scapegoat, it's put on him, the flesh, that line of Adam, the old man, all of it is embodied in him. And he's hanging there on the cross and he's cut off. And with his death, it's cut off now from us forever and put in the grave to be left there. It's dealt with once and for all in his death. And that's what the sign was pointing to. If you want to turn there, you can look at Colossians chapter 2. And if you look from verse 11, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11. Listen to what Paul says about us as Christians. In him, that's in Christ, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. So it's spiritual, it's not literal, it's not physical. By putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now you've got to unpack that because it's so powerful. But what's he saying? When the Lord died on the cross, that's his circumcision. That's the cutting off of the flesh forever. And you and I as Christians were united to Christ through faith. That death was your death. That cutting off was your cutting off from the old horrible life of the flesh. So that you are now a new creation and given a new name, Christian, child of God. At the cross, God kept his word, fulfilled all the promises. The seed crushes the devil's head. He takes away sin, keeping the promise of his covenant, winning life for us. And he shows you that forever, he is your God. He bears in his body the wounds of the cross. There you see the mark, the blood that shows he is your God, and you are his people forever. So, of course, as Christians, we don't need to be circumcised. We wouldn't go back to an old sign that's fulfilled its purpose. Would be nothing compared to the reality. Paul says in Philippians 3, we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. We are now this new people. Now, brothers and sisters, this is such amazing good news for you this morning, because your old self that's so sinful, that's condemned to die, God has cut it off, cast it away from you forever. It's not who you are anymore. In Christ, you are a new creation. You are Christ. Do you feel haunted sometimes by the past? Ashamed of your past? Maybe you feel stuck in things of the past. Or that who you are as a sinner can't change. I'm damaged goods, fit only to be written off. Do you see how wonderful the good news circumcision gives us is? Christ has cut off that old. He's made you a new creation. And God's faithfulness and love marked in the body of Christ, it shows you how great his love for you is, that he's redeemed you. He'll never break his covenant with you. So whenever you read in the scriptures about the sign of circumcision, let it point you to the cross. Think of the cross and see what Jesus did for you. This ancient sign of circumcision should really strengthen your faith, because every time you find it in the Bible, it should be shouting to you, here's what Jesus has done for you. And every time you think of circumcision, remember, you've been given a more beautiful sign, a more spiritual sign, a sign that doesn't leave a mark on the body, but there's an invisible mark that's seen by God. Every Christian, every man and woman, were marked with the sign of baptism, a sign of our cleansing, our new life in Christ, and that we are His. And when you've got doubts as a Christian, when you've got fears, when you feel your sins and how guilty you are, and you feel so brought so very low, you have to say to yourself, Christian, but I'm baptized. Does that sound strange to you? But I'm baptized. God's sign has been put on me that He is my God and forgives my sins in Christ. Just as Abram was meant to, and generations to come, look at circumcision and remember God's promises, you're to think of your baptism and go, remember what God has promised me. Remember your baptism. And then one last thing to challenge us to take from this. There's one more very important thing that the scriptures say about circumcision, and it's what we heard in Romans 2. That much more important than the outward sign is the need to have a circumcised heart. Paul actually says that's actually what a true Jew is, a true Israelite is. It was never something about race. It's actually about who has a circumcised heart. Now what he means is that a true believer responding to grace from the heart, you will cut yourself off from sin. With the help of the Holy Spirit, by God's power, a true Christian fights against all that's sinful, even sinful desires in the heart. And you're going to cut out sin from your life. You're not going to compromise and say, I'm going to allow a little bit of it over here. A bit like, you know, the dusty corners of the house you never quite get around to cleaning. I'm not going to have any sin. I'm going to cut it out in my tongue, in my thoughts. In all that I say and do, I will be devoted to God and obey God. To be circumcised of heart, I will love Him from the heart. And so that's the response that God's word demands of us. If He has circumcised us in Christ, cleansed us and cut off sin, the only response is to search your heart this morning, Christian, and cut out that sin and be pure and holy. So may God bless you with this sign. What it means for you in Christ. The glorious good news of new life. Amen.